laws of nature, the laws of gravity, energy, force, and so forth. They are outside your control. But by acting in harmony with those laws, you can control some lesser things. Inanimate objects, for instance. Suppose I let go of this pen. Well, I can predict with certainty that the pen will fall towards the earth. Now, that isn't all there is to the subject of pens or gravity or anything of the sort. But in this instance, the word control is applicable because the action can be thoroughly predictable on my part. I can control the travel of this pen from here to the earth. Oh, incidentally, at this point, I had planned to let go of the pen and have it fly up to the ceiling, sort of as a surprise. But I practiced it all day yesterday and I couldn't make it work. Well, now let's see how the word control applies to your relationship with other human beings. There you're going to have an entirely different situation than you do when dealing with pens. The word control is totally inappropriate because you control no one but yourself. And it is very important to distinguish between effect and control. If you could say with certainty that you know that an individual will respond to your words or your actions in a thoroughly predictable way, in a certain way, then you would be controlling that individual. But of course, this is not possible when you think it out, because that individual retains the opportunity to accept or reject anything that you offer. And that uncertainty takes the relationship out of the realm of control. In fact, you are simply kidding yourself if you try to make yourself believe that you control him. And that, of course, means that you're going to stub your toe on reality when he acts in a way different from what you had in mind. Even a slave is not controlled. He still retains the opportunity to resist, to kill himself, to take punishment, to do any of several things rather than simply do what you have told him to do. None of the alternatives may appear attractive to you and I as outsiders as we look at the situation, but the fact still remains that he will make the ultimate choice as to what he will do with his resources when he is commanded by the slave master. When you make a suggestion to someone, you are offering him additional knowledge, and in this way you are having an effect upon his life because you're giving him knowledge of an alternative that may not previously have been known to him, and so this now gives him one more thing to choose from. If he was already aware of that particular suggestion, then the alternative you're giving him now is the additional knowledge that you feel this way on the subject, and this he may want to take into consideration. But even if he acts directly upon your suggestion and does exactly what you suggested, you have not controlled him. You have had an effect upon his life in that you have added to the number of alternatives available from him to choose. But this would hold true whether or not he voluntarily takes your suggestion. Either way, you have had an effect, and in neither way have you controlled him. Even when you lie to someone, he will still choose whether to accept your word or to demand more proof before acting upon the suggestion. So, in every case, you are controlling the fact that you have entered his life and had this effect, but he controls the decision that put him in a position where he is exposed to you, and also the decision as to what to do with the alternative that you have offered to him. And there is no way that you can ever control him on a thoroughly predictable cause and effect basis. Now, we'll continue looking at this concept of control throughout the course because it's vitally important. But for now, it adds our fourth premise, and that being that you control only yourself. This provides us with four major premises upon which to base some conclusions. These premises being that all individuals seek happiness, happiness is relative, resources are limited, and that you control only yourself. Each individual is acting in ways that he hopes will bring him that feeling of well-being. But that action is going to be based upon his own relative viewpoint, his own limited knowledge, his subjective view of the world around him. Your resources, meaning your time, energy, and knowledge, and what you have traded them for, are limited. This means there is nothing so valuable that the question, at what price, is no longer applicable. The price is always important. Resources are limited, so the individual must choose, must discriminate, place values on everything he sees. And finally, you control only yourself. You cannot expect any other human being to respond on a thoroughly predictable basis to your influence. Now, because resources are limited, meaning that the individual does not have time to check out everything in life, individuals will have to generalize upon their knowledge. You don't have the time to stop and analyze every situation individually and logically deduce a course of action. So you will take pieces of knowledge and fit them together into what are called principles. A principle is simply a statement that the individual accepts as an unchanging fact of life. This is a piece of knowledge that he has proven over and over again so that he no longer has to take the time to prove it out in any given case. He simply accepts it as being true in every situation where it may come up. Once having accepted the statement, rain is wet, as a principle, you can look out the window and see that it's raining and make the remark, it is wet outside because it is raining, because you have accepted the principle that rain is wet. Understand, I'm not necessarily endorsing that principle. I'm just using it as an example. Or you might accept the principle that stealing is wrong. And since the word wrong means something that will produce unhappiness for you, you are saying, if you steal, it will produce unhappiness for you. Now, that's a good example of a principle. It's not a command, it is a principle, meaning that every time I steal, I will get unhappiness for myself, if I accept it as such. And again, seriously, I am merely citing that at the moment as an example of a principle that an individual might hold as an unchanging fact of life. The point being that if you do believe that, you will not have to stop and analyze every opportunity to steal in order to determine whether or not you would be happier or unhappier as a result of this act of theft. Rather, if you have once come to the conclusion that this principle is valid, that stealing always produces unhappiness for you, you would pass up a chance to steal, even if it might look very tempting to someone else. But on the other hand, if you have blindly accepted the concept that stealing is wrong simply because someone else said it was so, then it probably isn't really a principle to you, and you may not have the conviction to act upon it in a time of real crisis. However, if your logic and observations have told you that stealing will produce unhappiness for you, then it wouldn't matter if everyone around you was stealing. It wouldn't change the fact that you are convinced it would produce unhappiness for you. You would still know that, and so you wouldn't do it. Now, principles get enlarged into a further category that we might refer to for the moment as laws of nature, as they sweep over wide stretches of life's landscape. But more than just specific reality, the laws of nature would be the systems upon which reality operates. But let us never forget that as firm and unmovable and as objective as reality may be, it is still revealed to each of us subjectively, as each one discovers it for himself. The standard of truth being, does it work? And if it works consistently, it is truth for as long as it works. When it no longer works because some previously unaffected factor comes into play, then the truth will have to be amended in order to incorporate this new factor. But there is no sense calling what worked for so long as untrue. It was as true in its time as the new truth that has superseded it. To think otherwise is to simply say, well, that no one will ever know truth because everything is subject to the possibility that new information will amend it in the future. And the word true would have to be ruled out of the vocabulary, which you can do. The words are only methods of labeling concepts in your mind anyway. But the human being is not interested in the ultimate final truth of all eternity. He is interested in what works for him in his life and will produce happiness within the lifetime that he can conceive of, including possibly a hereafter if he believes in the hereafter. But the kind of truth he's looking for is the kind of truth that will produce the results of happiness that he's looking for in his lifespan. Now, you must also recognize, of course, that what is important is what you know about what works in your life. What someone else says works for him is only a point of consideration. He is a different person acting upon a different framework entirely. If he seems to get away with things that you don't think would work for you, remember, you can't see all that goes on in his life. You don't know what he may be paying for his acts, no matter what outwardly seems to be the case. But even if you were sure that he was profiting from certain acts,